Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Ben Stokes, the CEO and founder of Socials Table. Good morning in your case, Ben. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you going?
I'm doing well, and thank you for joining me at such an early time in the morning. I know it's, what you just said, 7:30 in the morning there?
It is, yeah, 7:38, exactly. But don't worry, you weren't my first call today. My first call was at 5 a.m. So at least you didn't get tired, Ben. You got more engaged, Ben.
and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's summer there now, right?
It is, yes, absolutely. It's summer, however, it is raining currently. So not quite as summery as what I usually hope.
Yeah, but you're not seeing what's in my background, that's for sure.
Definitely not. I am currently in a pair of shorts, so yes. No.
So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. So I started, my career has been a little bit different than most. I started in healthcare and then moved across to law and then went into business. And so I've sort of floated around. I worked for Salesforce for a while, as well as Oracle, focusing on their health sciences sort of area. And then I moved from that into more startups and startup space. I moved to the States. I ran, I was a sales director for a couple of companies over there. And then came back and started my own company, Social Table, which I then have been able to build up and take both to the US and Europe as well. And from outside of that, I have invested in startups as well. And I've also mentored a number of startups through both the Australian Landing Pad and through Startup as well.
Wow, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, something like that.
So, well, you mentioned social tables. What does Social Tables do? Who's your target audience and what makes you unique?
Sure. So Social Tables started as a social dining platform. I guess the way it worked was that you could book and pay for a single seat at a group table at a restaurant as a way of meeting people. Think of it like dining with strangers and then hopefully leaving with new friends at the end. Interestingly enough, you know, like we built it up, as I mentioned, to like go to Europe as well as the US, and then the pandemic hit. So we sort of had to do a pivot, which was kind of fun and interesting. But I guess what the pivot meant was that we were really able to focus on the reason behind why and why we were doing our company. And that was to help create a better connected world. And so what we did is we went back to the drawing board and really focused on our matching algorithm and sort of helping people connect with people that I like to think that they, you know, they need to know in that sense. And so what we do, or how we sort of then focused, is actually incorporating a shared experience through either a wine, tea, beer, or spirit tasting, which is led by a professional sommelier. And then from there, what we do is then, have matched up people around like, you know, interests and topics. And we also then, pivoted that to being a B2B angle as well, around engaging remote employees and how companies can actually use us as a social tool to get their employees back and being connected.
Wow, very cool. So, I mean, about a month, it was basically 11 months ago when Stay in Place hit here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you were strictly a dining application, right?
Yeah, and I was actually in San Francisco at the time. Yes, so it was interesting actually. I just did a 6.5 week isolation because I was in Singapore when it went to Orange Alert, and then I came back to San Francisco, and then did shelter in place happened straight away. So then I was stuck in isolation there, and then I came back to Australia and did 2 more weeks of isolation. It was a lot of alone time. Let me say that.
You should have had your app before you went into isolation.
I think the hardest thing was the fact that Zoom wasn't really being used before in that first period, and it was really tough. And I think that made me realize that, you know, there needs to be a better way to sort of work through this or connect, for sure.
So your company, I mean, are you based all over the world, or are you based in Australia or San Francisco or a little bit of both? Oh,
we are all over the world. So we're a US headquartered company. However, we have people working for us in Europe, Australia, and the US. Yeah. And we have done events on all 6 continents. We're still waiting for that one person to sign in from Antarctica to make us a fully global company, but we're pretty close.
I would say 6 out of 7 makes you a fully global company, wouldn't you?
I'm pretty excited about that. So hopefully we'll, hopefully that shows, you know, that in the pandemic and particularly in this time of being remote and stuff, it shows that it is possible to continue to grow and definitely, to service more people, particularly when the whole world is going through something as intense as this pandemic.
Well, well, correct me if I'm wrong. And last March, it had to devastate your clientele, your restaurant clients, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our entire business model had to be shut down. It was, yeah, like I said, it was really tough. Because, you know, I'd been building this thing for like the last, well, prior to the pandemic, like two and a bit years. And so I'd been working at it really hard. As I mentioned, like, you know, the fact that we've been able to take it to not only from Australia to the US, but then also to Europe as well, meant that we were starting to get a little bit of momentum behind us too. And we had great relationships with vendors and, you know, like we really, I think we really sort of tapped into something there. But then obviously when the pandemic hit, everything stopped and it had to. And, you know, I'm really grateful that we were able to pivot. But at the same time, I think what that also showed is that, you know, some of our customers who were trying to be quite inventive, we sort of still continue to partner with a few of them around how can we help you with, you know, get through this pandemic together. So like, you know, doing some events around like picnic sets and things like that the restaurants have been able to put together, which has been quite good as well.
Oh, so you are still doing some events for restaurants, just not in person.
Not in person. So nothing that we do now is in person. That's correct.
Yeah. And is it safe to assume that once things go, we'll say back to normal, that part of the business will pick back up again?
To be honest, it's definitely something that we're going to do again. Yes. I just think that right now that's definitely not been a priority because, you know, because of all the restrictions and things like that. And until a vaccine is fully available, I just don't see that that's going to be something we're going to rush out to do. I think that it makes more sense for us to focus on you know, just doing what we've been doing now with the virtual model. And there's always going to be a hybrid model moving forward, no matter if it's a conference or a company. And so I think for us, you know, helping make sure that we sort of map into that is going to be the best thing, best solution for us.
Well, actually, if you think about it in a way, I mean, a short-term pain probably turned into long-term benefit because you have a whole different offering now, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, like I look at it and as mentioned, like we went back to our why. We really understood what our platform was about and what we were trying to achieve. And I guess what that meant is that we could really focus then on actually going, okay, well, a hybrid model works really well because it doesn't matter if it's in-person or virtual, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Very cool. So that's the business side of it. Now let's look at the employee side of it. I mean, did the stay in place really have a big effect on you? Well, you already were a remote company, right? Although, did you have offices in three cities?
Yeah, so we already were remote and we had employees working remotely in a lot of the other cities. So like we had somebody in the US, and we had a few people in the US, a couple of people in Europe, as well as a couple of people in Australia. And I think what that really meant for us was that, you know, it was tough. Like we were already working virtual in a lot of senses. However, you know, like what we were able to do is actually still go out and meet people and meet customers and things like that. And that sort of really we had to change our whole method of doing that. So obviously Zoom and other tools like that has been super helpful for us to be able to do that. And then obviously still stay connected as a team as well.
Yeah. And I'm assuming, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, does your platform use Zoom for these virtual?
We are tool agnostic in that sense. So we have used Zoom. We predominantly use Zoom for the pure simple fact that pretty much everybody in the world has Zoom as well. So from a learning capability, it's not been an issue. We've also done events on Microsoft Teams. We've done events on Join Unlock as well, which is another tool that we've been using. So we sort of doesn't really matter exactly in terms of what tool that is. For us, it's all around the connections that we create through our algorithm, as well as being able to deliver wine or spirits to someone's house.
Interesting. And just say you do a wine event, right?
Yeah.
Would a bottle of wine be shipped to each participant's house and then the summer?
Yeah. So usually two or three bottles of wine gets delivered to your door, directly to your door. And so then you obviously then have them ready for the meeting. You jump online to either the link that we provide, which is either Zoom or Join Unlock. And then the sommelier will start the session. And she, and it's usually Jenna, and she will actually get on there for like 20 to 30 minutes and actually talk you through the wines that you're tasting. Alternatively, we also have the option of using the winemaker themselves, which is quite cool because the winemaker who actually made the wine you're drinking jumps on and actually talks to you about how they made that wine and the notes and things like that you're experiencing through that. Then after that happens, we then break off into smaller groups and actually you get to network with people. As mentioned, our algorithm actually helps set up the people that you should be talking to as well.
Well, living about an hour and a half from Napa, once things open up, I think I'll volunteer to go recruit winemakers for you. How's that?
That sounds awesome. Yeah, we're always looking for more wine partners and TM beer and breweries as well. We've also got a couple of distilleries online. We've been very fortunate. We partnered with a company called Trolley. They have over 1,500 wineries on their platform. So we've been able to sort of really engage that market, which has been quite good.
Cool. Well, Ben, I want to thank you for your time today. It's an amazing story. And it's so good to hear of a company that you really thought the pandemic was going to shut you down, and you've actually flourished out of it, which is a great story.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate that. It's like I said, it's been one of those things that has been a challenge, but at the same time, I think the benefit of it is what it made us really go back to our core and the reason why. And once we went back to that, it gave us the strength to keep going.
Well, I don't know if you've read that book, Start With Why. It's true, right?
Yes, I definitely have. And it definitely is true. Understanding your why and knowing, because at the end of the day, the only thing that keeps you getting out of bed every day.
Yep. It doesn't feel like work if the why is there, right?
Exactly. Well,
I know it's early in the morning there, so have a good day. And thank you for your time today.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right.